Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first meal with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/ghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways of getting those stories to us. Of course, if you want to react to any of the stories, you can find us on social media, lots of places. For that, Facebook is Real Ghost Stories Online, Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, Snapchat at Ghost Podcast, and we also have a Real Ghost Stories Online Facebook group now. Because I guess the page isn't. I think there's slight differences in how you can interact on the group.
Okay.
Like as far as people can post and then other folks see it. So it's kind of more like an old traditional message board, but it's on Facebook.
Okay.
But the Facebook group does now exist. So you can look up the Real Ghost Stories Online group and you can request access and I'll press approve. That's how that works. You can't just like be there apparently. So I have to approve it. But join in on that if you want to chat amongst yourselves about ghosts. And I interact as well. So do check that out. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining me once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing I'm doing lovely. I was actually just the sponsor of our show today is Blue Apron, but I was just looking at some of the upcoming meal choices that we have. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. Well, I'll talk about it in the the little advertisement for them in a little bit, but it's like legitimately it's something I really do legitimately get excited about. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit. Ghosts, 855-853-4802. That's what the show is all about. Let's go to one of those stories that was sent into us and hear a real ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say I absolutely love your show. I've been listening for the past 2 months. I'm not an EVP yet, but I plan on doing it just as soon as I can. My story is kind of part of a historical story, so I'll kind of have to give you a little bit of the history to begin with. In my area, there is an old ruin of a huge plantation. It's called the Forts of Cyprus. You can look it up online. It's in our area. It's really popular. Like, it's a place that people drive by and look at and remember. Well, anyways, at some point in the, I think it was the 60s, or it may have even been earlier than that, it was destroyed by fire. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but all that's left are the, like, brick columns. Anyways, there's a local legend behind the area that says that one of the daughters of the owner of the plantation fell in love with one of the slaves, and they were going to run off together. And they had planned on meeting at this little creek that runs by. It's fairly deep. And they were going to run away together. So they agreed to meet at midnight, or I think it was midnight. It may have just been sometime late at night, and the slave, whose name was Henry, decided, you know, he was going to pack up all his stuff, and he snuck out and headed for the creek. He waited and waited and waited and didn't hear anything or see her, so he decided to start walking back towards the plantation just so he didn't get killed essentially for nothing. Well, as he's, you know, grabbing his little satchel and heading that way, he starts hearing gunfire. next thing you know, poor Henry has been shot and killed and died in the creek. You know, he bled a lot, supposedly, and, you know, because of him dying in the creek and the blood, supposedly, he haunts the creek. Not only that, come to find out, the owner ended up beating his daughter so badly that she ended up dying. She died no further than 50 feet away from the spot where she was supposed to meet Henry. The local legend says that if you go out at night on the creek, there used to be an old bridge out there that you could stand on and hear the water flowing and everything else, but you can stand on the creek and you'll hear a woman crying. At the same time you hear the woman crying, you hear like splashes in the water, like Henry's trying to run back towards the plantation, and then you hear gunfire. You don't really see anything. It's a total audible experience, but we did it, and we went out there with a camera, and while we're filming the camera, you don't hear anything on the camera, even though you could hear it while we were there with our own ears. You see orbs flying around the bridge, and an even bigger orb flying around the water area. And we videoed it all, and we've watched it a couple of times and talked about, you know, the significance of it, especially for the fact that not too long ago, about 2 to 3 years ago, the county decided that the bridge was completely unsafe, which it was. The wood and everything had rotted to a point where you had to be real careful and walk on the planks that were still, you know, in really good condition. But they ended up tearing the bridge down. Everybody wanted to make it a historical landmark, but they ended up tearing the bridge down. So now you would have to, you know, walk through the woods or whatever to get to the spot where Henry supposedly died, which is where the bridge was actually made for some odd reason. And you can't, I mean, you can get there, but basically it's just almost kind of bad. Like, it's snaky and everything else. But it was just a thing me and my friends did because we were really intrigued with, like, local legends and always out doing little ghost hunts, because I had one of those night vision cameras and everything, and all my friends wanted to, you know, be like ghost hunters and do our own little show and stuff on YouTube. But that's my story, and I really hope to maybe possibly hear it on air. Thanks for all you do, and I hope you enjoyed my story, and especially considering it's, you know, kind of historical and everything. But I'll continue listening to the show and very soon become an EPP.
There you go.
You know, I love those stories that have some sort of legend to them, because you know that that legend has some sort of roots. The story may have changed over decades and, you know, generations, but there's something that makes that story have something legit behind it.
It always makes me wonder where it started.
Mm-hmm.
What is the basis of X story or legend? And there's obviously you know, kind of nationwide ones. And it's funny when you go from area to area, you know, every area has their, you go to this hill and it does that and the cars move and you'll have handprints on the back of them,
yeah.
For example. Almost every single place I've ever lived in, and significantly far away from each other, they all have this, their mm-hmm. version of it. And you have that version of a version of all different local legends. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because a lot of times you think, oh, that's just local. That's just around here. No, it's not. there's always variations, but these things started somewhere.
Yeah, there's some place where this was
the actual local legend.
Yes.
Exactly.
And then everybody was like, oh, that's a great story. I'm going to say that's out of that creepy bridge outside of town.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
No.
I wonder where, you know, if there's any way to even track some of that back. Probably not.
No.
Be interesting. Nowadays, anything that's new that pops up with social media, there may be ways of tracing some of it, but so much of it just used to be just straight word of mouth. Mm-hmm. So there really isn't much of a way other than, you know, was it published in something? Was it in the paper or, you know, anything of that nature?
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our supporter today is Blue Apron. We've been using them for quite some time, well before they were even supporters of the show, and they are the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. There's a reason for it. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, and they really, really do. They achieve it by supporting sustainable food systems, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. What you get here is really high-quality food that's pretty much ready to cook. You just follow the simple instructions. You get these nice, colorful recipe cards. You don't have to, like, wander to a website or something or try and get your tablet in the kitchen. Although you can actually use that on their website. If you lose the card, you can still find the recipe on the website, which is nice because I've done that once or twice. But I try to keep the cards there. I still like using the paper cards. And as far as price goes, under $10 per person for a delicious meal. And we've been actually this last delivery, we have been doing the family boxes, and we all like the family boxes, but we don't get out much. So yeah. We thought, you know, what if we made like some nights where it's just you and me and it's like an at-home date night.
The kids go to bed.
Go to bed. We can cook. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of selections, whether you're doing the four-person meal options or the two-person meal options. And I thought, well, let's try this. We can get a few more meals out of this if we do the two-person meals. And got it. And we've been having it like every night for dinner once the kids go to bed.
Well, not exactly every night.
Well,
but, you know,
lately.
Once school's on, the kids are so busy that they've got their own schedules.
Yeah. And it's good stuff. Here's what's coming up for the month of October here in just like another week or so, I believe. Sage and brown butter chicken with roasted fall vegetables. Very fall-like dish. Mm-hmm. Fennel-crusted pork chops and fig compote with the sautéed kale and farro salad. Brown butter gnocchi with mushrooms and Swiss chard. And that's just to name a fraction of it. They have everything from... it's nice. It's labeled here now. 30-minute meals or ones that may take a little bit longer if you want to get a little more in-depth. And you can choose. They've recently added even more selections when you place your order as to what they've had in the past. And it was good in the past, but now there's even more to choose from when you pick your recipes. So, and right now, Blue Apron in October celebrating their fifth anniversary, bringing back its top 20 recipes from throughout the past 5 years, as picked by you, the Blue Apron community. So your favorite Blue Apron recipes are back on the menu for a limited time only. Check it out for yourself and get this week's menu and get $30 off your first meal with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ghost. That's blueapron.com/ghost. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. blueapron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. Thank you for taking my call. My name's Lisa. I'm calling from Central Florida. I called in just recently about a story of me and my little sister and actually seeing a woman in a red dress walk by. And I have another story, more of a question for you guys, and I'd love to hear, you know, what you have to say about it. I'm a mom of two little boys, a 3- and a 5-year-old, and I think I want to, you know, learn as much about this as I can in order to be a better mom to my kids. Basically, my question involves imaginary friends. I think there's a fine line when it comes to kids where, you know, we pawn off imaginary friends as imaginary friends when possibly it could be more than that. So here I go with my story. When I was very young, growing up with my sister, like I said before, there are 7 kids in my family. But there's a 10-year gap between the oldest two. So it was me and my 5 sisters, all 2 years apart, that grew up in the same house. And we all have different stories that we could tell, different happenings to us growing up. And my mom was always very aware of it. She always read up on books. She never, like, really pursued it, but she wanted to be aware because she, you know, knew that little kids are, you know, vulnerable in a sense to the spiritual world in their innocence. Anyways, so we grew up in this house, and it's a 5-bedroom house. It's not old, 2-story house, 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, pretty big. I think it was built in the 60s, 50s, 60s, so it's not really old. But there was an addition put onto the house. It originally was 3 bedrooms, and they added on 2 bedrooms. So when you go upstairs, there's a long, skinny hallway that takes you back to these last 2 bedrooms. And the very last bedroom, pretty much everyone was always creeped out by. I can't tell you why my friends were, or people that didn't live there, but I remember constantly growing up having my friends over, and anytime we went back to that room, they would tell me that they were scared, like they didn't want to be there alone. And I did live there, so I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, like it's perfectly fine. You know, you're just making this up, it's not whatever. So anyways, there have been happenings in that room. Personally, I've never experienced it, but I also shut myself off from it because when I got older, that was my bedroom, so I didn't want to be open to anything. But there's been, you know, footstep, like just pacing back and forth, hearing someone walk in and out of the room. My mom was back there one night, and she says something like grabbed her leg and kept pulling on it, wouldn't let go. Like little things, nothing horrible. But anyways, when we were very young, before all of this, that used to be a toy room for me and my sisters. And my one older sister always complained to my mother, and this is where I get to the imaginary friend thing, that she had a little boy who was always teasing her. She said he was a chunky kid dressed as a pirate, and my older sister would be in tears over this kid. Like, he would just make fun of her, he would take toys away from her, like, constantly. And she would run downstairs to my mom crying and just be like, I can't play because he's in there. And my mom was like, okay, I don't understand what's going on. She'd walk her back up to the toy room, you know, look around. Everything would be fine. I was always with my sister. My mom would see me sitting there happily playing with toys, like, oblivious to the whole situation. And she was always like, okay, like, you're fine, you'll be okay, you don't have to worry. And this went on for a while, where my sister saw this little boy dressed up as a pirate, until one day she said she walked downstairs and looked out the window, and she saw this little boy standing in her front yard, and he looked at her and he waved. And she said it looked like he was waving goodbye, and then she never saw him again after that. The kicker to this is that, according to her and her description, the little boy was a cartoon character type of little boy. And he was a big part of her everyday life, but he did look like a cartoon character, which I found interesting. And I think that's the point where we say, you know, it's just an imaginary friend. But if she did have an imaginary friend, and it was all her imagination, with these instances, I don't think that I would have seen them also. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. So we move on from her little pirate boyfriend, and we get to the story of the farmer man. So we were very young. I can't tell you our exact ages, but I still remember this evening clear as day in my mind. My dad came home from the movie store. You know, he brought home the VHS from a random little movie store. You know, before Blockbuster even. So it was maybe a little while ago. So he came home and he got a new movie for us. And he told me to go get my sister. So all my sisters were downstairs. And I ran upstairs to get my sister Emily, the one who had the, you know, pirate boy imaginary friend. So I run up there, and she's sitting in one of the front bedrooms. So mind you, I said the house had an addition at the end of the hallway, so all of the bedrooms were together, and then basically you had to walk down a skinny hallway to get to the added-on rooms. the two of them. But she was up front at the top of the stairs, and she was sitting in her room, and I was like, hey, Dad got a new movie, let's go watch it. And she got really sad, and she showed me this great picture she colored, and she was really excited about it. She worked so hard, and she wanted to hang it up on the wall. And she said she didn't want to watch the movie until she hung her picture up on the wall. And I was like, oh, okay, well, let's go to Jill's room. Jill's my oldest sister, and she had been living in the room that I said was creepy at the end of the hallway. She was in art school at the time, so she always had a ton of tacks in her room. She was constantly tacking drawings and stuff on her wall. So I said, why don't you just go to Jill's room and get a tack, and then we can hang it up and go watch the movie. And Emily got really sad, and she started crying, and she said she couldn't go back there because the farmer man wouldn't let her. And I knew of the farmer man because she had spoken of him previously, and I accepted, like, I always knew he was real because she told me, and she was my big sister, so I believed her. But I also knew that that was her problem, like, it didn't affect me. So she told me the farmer man wouldn't let her and go back there. And I was like, okay, well, that's okay. I'll go get it for you because I don't see him. So I hopped off the bed, ran out of the room, turned down the hallway. I'm running down the hallway, you know, happily to go grab a tack. And I remember having to stop dead in my tracks. There's basically the hallway goes straight and turns to your left. And when I hit the corner, like where it turns, I remember having to force myself to stop running, and because there was a skinny long pair of legs in front of me, and I stopped myself, and I remember slowly working my eyes like up this figure to the point where my head had to, you know, I had to bend my head all the way backwards and look straight up, because there was the farmer man in front of me. He was so skinny and so tall that he had to crouch. He couldn't fit. Like, his head would have hit the ceiling, gone through the ceiling if he stood up straight. So he had to crouch a bit. And he was there, and he was in overalls, and he had a straw hat on, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I remember standing there frozen. And we stared into each other's eyes. And there was a good 3 seconds of me just staring at him and him staring back at me. And then he slowly gave me half of a smile. And he was a cartoon. I'm not saying like a happy nowadays, like Disney cartoon. I'm talking about those, basically when they used to make the older cartoons, like for adults to watch and stuff, and the characters were like rough. I mean, he obviously was colored in and everything, and I'm not talking about, like, black and white, like, but it was so real. And I remember looking up and seeing that half a smile, and that told me that I could go. And I booked it into the creepy room, grabbed the tack, and then kept my head down. I did not look up. I was so terrified. I ran straight to the front room, gave my sister the tack, and I was like, it's okay. And I remember my sister looked at me with wide eyes, and she's like, did you see him? And I was like, I did, but it's okay. He let me go so we can go watch the movie. And she was like, okay. So then I was like, all right, let's go. Hang your picture up. Let's go. And she was like, I can't because he's at the bottom of the stairs and he won't let me pass. So I ran out of the room. I looked down the stairs and then I ran back in it and I told her, you know, he's not there. We can go. And she was so relieved and I walked her down the stairs. But the thing that was crazy to me was, he was like, he didn't let her in the back room, and that happened for me, but also he didn't let her down the stairs. So she was basically trapped. If she walked out of her room, she had the hallway to the right and he was there, or she had the staircase to the left and he was there. So she was pretty much trapped, and I had to clear the way for her to get out. Now, till this day, as we've gotten older, and the reason I think it's more than just the imagination is the fact that we describe this figure that we saw exactly the same. And if it were an imaginary friend, I don't understand how, you know, her imagination got into my head and created this. The only difference between him is, although we describe his clothes, everything exactly the same. When she saw him, he had red, His eyes were glowing red, and he always was angry at her. He always was mean and glaring at her, and it terrified her. And when I saw him, like, I felt like I stood up to him, and he stared at me, and then gave me, like, the creepiest half smile, like, go ahead. And that was it. But after I saw him, she never struggled with it again. She never saw him again. And, you know, everyone, if I tell this story and I don't include the fact that he looked like a cartoon character, people think it's real. If I include the fact that these were, you know, cartoon-looking figures, people tend to laugh it off and say, well, maybe it was an imaginary friend. But it does seem odd that both of us saw it. And to both of us, it still is completely real. So my question to you guys is, you know, what do you think? Do you think it's an imaginary friend? Do you think that we made it up in our minds as little kids? Or do you think that possibly, considering that, you know, these spiritual entities can come in whatever form they want to, that maybe we were seeing something more? Especially considering that we have had things happen in our house. Not anything huge, but we have had different experiences. Anyway, I'm really sorry. I know this drug on for, you know, quite some time. And I hope maybe I'll hear back from you or maybe hear this on an episode. I am not an EPP member. I do plan on being it as soon as my financial circumstances allow me to. I'm not just saying that. I really will. Love your show. I get everyone to listen to it. So keep going. You guys are great. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Cartoon ghosts. Thoughts?
It's kind of interesting. I wouldn't use the term imaginary friend just because they were both afraid of both of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And could it be that she saw it because of the way her sister described it and kind of made her afraid, and so she imagined she saw it? It could be, but the way she remembers to this day what it looked like and what it did, I really feel like it was something else projecting itself as these characters. And I would venture as far as to say it was probably the same thing.
Yeah, and that just happened to be the way it was showing itself, was for lack of a better term, a cartoon form. Mm-hmm. or a very drawn out, you know, type of way. It may just have been like the strength that was, you know, projecting. There's ways of making almost anything, even on, you know, real images on paper. You know, you run it through a filter or some interesting lighting techniques. You can make almost anything look like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. That are real images. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with just lighting and energy, and that's how it was projecting itself.
Could be.
You know what I mean? Like, not necessarily trying to be a cartoon, but that's just the way it came out, and that's our reference point as humans.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think that the way the characters didn't necessarily overlap as far as their time haunting the girls.
Sure.
I kind of am wondering if maybe it wasn't something that went away and then came back as something else.
I could see that being the case with this, just showing itself in different ways. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, guys. This is Eric calling from Kernersville, North Carolina. I have a couple of ghost stories that I'd like to tell you about and get your opinion, certainly on one of them. The first one happened when I was 3 or 4 years old, and I can't remember if it was a dream or if it's something that really happened, because perhaps it was so long ago. It started at my great-grandmother's house. She used to babysit me, and one evening I was laying on the couch, and there was this dark black shadow figure that didn't have any details that I could see, like a face, but it was all dark, and it was on the ceiling against the wall, the corner of the ceiling and the wall, and it was moving around. And then my next memory is it had my great-grandmother throwing her across the room. And then I remember going to the basement and seeing this black shadow figure disappear into a hole in the dirt in the basement. What's strange about that is why would a 3 or 4 year old dream about something like this? I watch a lot of the ghost shows on TV, and it was only when I watched those shows as an adult that I even knew that those kinds of things could exist. So it really boggles my mind how a 3 or 4 year old could have imagined that. But also I can't imagine it throwing my great grandmother across the room and it not be big family news. So my other ghost story was at my parents' house. My little brother and I have always shared a room at my parents' house, and our beds were across from each other. And do you know how when a car drives past in front of a house, the headlights will hit the window and cast an image of the window? The light hits the wall, and as the car goes by, that rectangle that it creates moves across the wall. This was similar to that, except instead of a rectangle, this was a swirly-looking thing. I describe it often as looking like a galaxy in space, but it was just a swirling light mass, maybe 2 feet in diameter, that was right up against the ceiling on the wall, and it moved from close to where the windows were slowly across the room. And as it got past my brother's bed, he and I both hopped out of our beds and watched it disappear into the wall part where the door is. And then it reappeared out in the hallway on the wall near the ceiling. And then it went across the hallway ceiling and it disappeared into another bedroom. And of course, we couldn't follow it anymore after that. It was really strange. And now that I'm thinking about it as an adult, it just doesn't seem there's any way that could have been a car. My parents' house is fairly old. It was built in 1924. And there's been strange things, certainly, that's happened in that house. For instance, I've heard silverware drop onto the counter, but then you look in the kitchen and there's no silverware anywhere to be found. It's all washed and put away. Or I've heard a guitar strum one time that was in another room, and you go in the room and investigate, and there's no one in the room, just the guitar laying there. And one time I was going up the steps and I heard a reclining chair go from an open to a closed position and look into the room and see it slightly rocking, but there's no one in the room. So there's strange things that's happened in that house before. Anyway, those are the ghost stories that I have. I love the show. I started listening to it a couple of months ago and have been hooked ever since. And I can't wait to soon become a member. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
It sounds like the thing he thought was a car light forever was probably just your classic orb.
Yeah.
Just going down the hall.
One of those that you can visibly see with the naked eye, mm-hmm. which are not all that common.
No.
Makes you wonder then, is that more powerful than the orbs that you would pick up on film? Is it more legitimate? Obviously, you know, if you're seeing it with the naked eye, because there's a lot of arguments you can make with the lens ones. Mm-hmm. But why would it be there?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the type of spirit that's in that house, and that's how it chooses to show itself.
No. I wonder if you can choose if you're a ghost. Or is it like an age thing? Like over time, you start it like as an orb, and then the longer you're a ghost, you can be a full body entity, and then eventually, then you turn into a demon. That's how it ends for everybody.
Maybe you just choose what you look like, because like, you know, people that don't like to show themselves like in pictures and stuff, mm-hmm. they just want to be an orb.
I'll do the orb. I'm good. And
I'm good. I'll just be an orb.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You'd be an orb, wouldn't you?
I totally would be an orb.
I would be the full body freak out.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of showing myself or being in pictures, so I'll just be an orb.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Trina from Ohio. Love your show. So glad you're doing it for everyone out there who thinks just like us. and wants to hear a really interesting story. I called in once before with a story about how I lost my son and how he came to reach out to me. This time I wanted to tell you the stories about the stuff that he did before I knew for sure that it was him. They were creepy because I didn't know it was my son. The radio alarm clock would go off, and I've never set it to go off. I use my alarm clock on my cell phone. My daughters woke up one morning with the Michael Myers mask on the floor from the previous Halloween when he was Michael Myers. The thing that was creepy about the mask being on the floor is the fact that I store all of my seasonal items in big plastic tubs with lids in the basement, so there's no science-type reason why it should have been on the floor up there. So pretty much freaked them out seeing that first thing in the morning. Also, I was at home alone one night, and my bedroom was upstairs, and it was about 3 in the morning, and all of a sudden, you hear someone running up there, like loud as if it's a human. Like there's, it wasn't like soft, it was like there was someone running. My first instinct was like I was super freaked out. Like, oh my God, I hope no one's in the house. But then I was like, kept trying to calm myself down, like, okay, probably just my son, probably just my son. I go up there and check, and of course, there's nobody up there. But the freakiest thing of all that happened was, okay, so I need to preface this by saying that I'm OCD, so everything is always in its place. My kids were gone for the weekend, and I was home alone, and I left out to go see a friend, and then I come back, and in front of my entertainment, a DVD case to the movie Exorcism of Emily Rose. That DVD case had been missing for at least 6 months. And now all of a sudden it's sitting on the floor, very straight, perpendicular to my entertainment center. I think if it had been any other movie case, it probably might not have freaked me out so much, but that particular one, I was like, So, come to find out when I did hear from my son, he was doing all these things to get in touch with us and let us know he's around, but, you know, it's still kind of hard to wrap your mind around the metaphysical world and keep that in mind when stuff like this happens, especially stuff that happens 3 in the morning or when you're at home alone to, you know, are just naturally going to be scared of stuff. But I thought those stories you might find interesting. Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work, and I hope to become an EPP member soon. Thank you so much.
Sounds like he had a sense of humor as far as what he's going to leave around.
I think so, and I think, you know, until she figured out it was him, that she was just trying to get attention.
Sure, I agree. And it'd be something that I think if I was in that situation, I'd be doing stuff like that too, that's kind of freaky, borderline freaky.
You'd leave your masks out.
Masks, picking out movies of exorcisms and things like that. Like, never really know. Is it me or is it something else?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would do. Thank you for sharing those experiences with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new one every single week, access to exclusive video content, and a whole lot more. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month to join and become an EPP extra podcast person. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family's going to a tailgate, and I want our style to stand out from the crowd.
Just go to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, Old Navy's got all the latest fall styles. Plus, during Old Navy's colossal sale, you'll save up to 50% off store-wide.
Did you say up to 50% off?
I did, so don't sit on the sidelines. Old Navy has the perfect pants from $19, stylish dresses from $15, and comfy tees for the family from just $6 right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
We're cheering for Old Navy.
High Fashion, Old Navy. Valid 10-2 to 10-10. Select styles only.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts.
Alex Guthrie is a street musician who dreams of his music being heard by millions. American Family Insurance is making that happen. Find your champion at amfam.com. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, American Family Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
I'm Jonathan Messenger, broadcasting to you live from my home, where I record a kids' podcast with my son, Griffin.
John dreams of inspiring other parents to create something with their kids. American Family Insurance is helping to make that dream happen right now.
Dad, what else does a monster look like?
It was so huge.
John's podcast began at home, and your dreams can too. Learn more about American Family's home insurance at mfam.com. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts.
Alex Guthrie is a street musician who dreams of his music being heard by millions. American Family Insurance is making that happen.
Lovely day, lovely day, lovely day.
Find your champion at amfam.com. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, American Family Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.